Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, looking at the book of James. Today's message is looking at the kingdom perspective of pride and humility. Our speaker today is Jim Angelakos, and we'll turn it over now as he is introduced.
So this is the day the Lord has made. Yes. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Will y'all say that with me? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's bring up Jim Angelakos is going to be teaching us today. Jim, come on.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, men. It's a great honor to be here with you this morning. Boy, I'm kind of overwhelmed with joy at this opportunity. Thank you, Patrick. And this Bible study has become part of the DNA of my life and my family's life. Been attending for 29 years. I didn't realize it was that long. My kids grew up interacting, volunteering at the ministry, being part of this. My son, when he was 5 years old, he's 29 now. He was 3 months old when we came here. I'd bring him here, and he would just sit and listen, get the orange juice. He'd go eat some donuts, which I didn't realize that. One day, one of the guys came over there, and he said, your son's been at the donuts. And I went back over there, and there were little bites taken out of several donuts. He was trying out the donuts. Yeah, Nicholas. And then we would have him over here, and he would stack the money. And he was a stickler. I got to get the ones in the same direction, and the fives, and the tens, and so on. And but here's the great thing. Being part of this Bible study, he would serve and help, but he was also listening, because over the years, some of the things that he would hear, they would come out in his conversation. And I realized that there's something powerful when men get together, when we come together for the sole reason of listening to God's Word and to relate with other men, to build relationships. So for 29 years, I've been coming to this Bible study, faithfully attending. At some point, that transitioned into serving. I've served in many, many areas, table leader to administrating now, coming early, making coffee, picking up donuts, doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes things. And I want to thank the guys that helped do that now. Ed's been coming in. He beats me here. I try to get here at 5:45. Ed beats me here, and he makes the coffee. So, servant's heart. But there's something about serving God and serving others that kind of connects you with the Lord. The other thing that I love about this Bible study is that we've had the opportunity to make some great relationships, build small group with men, with one another. But the most important thing is that we're able to hear the Word of God come, and the Word of God comes into our minds, our hearts, our ears, and it begins to transform us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that the Word of God is powerful and what? Living. Let me read a part of this here. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting. It goes between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So when the Word of God comes, it does something. It's not like opening up any other book. This is God's spoken Word. And so I want to challenge you, and those of you that are listening online, when you get the opportunity to hear the Word of God, press in, lean in, and allow God's Word to come in and to begin to transform you and change you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, and for training. Well, those are tough words. You can take those words, they can bounce off of you like you're wearing a Teflon suit, or you can stop and pause and say, Lord, I want to accept those words. I'm hearing something. Is this going to teach me? Is this going to train me? Is this going to correct me? Is this going to rebuke me? And then we have a choice as men. Are we just going to hear the word, or are we going to step forward and do the word, obey the word. Big, big decision on our part. But I want to challenge us. I've been here, listen, I'm kind of an insider, but I'm not up here that often. I have seen hundreds of lives transformed by the power of the Word of God in this room. And then the conversations that take place at those tables, the relationships, the following up with the questions, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and to work with you. So this is a phenomenal place. It really is the best place to be on a Friday morning. And I want to challenge you again, invite someone to come. Don't let them miss out on an opportunity for the Lord to work in their lives, to help change them, to help teach them, to help equip them, and transform them. So today we are going to continue with the series, The Wisdom of James. But let me get into the wisdom of James. Pat started with the first chapter. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. If you'd like to open up your Bibles, some of you have digital Bibles, some of you have paper and print, and then we're going to have the big Bible on the screen up here. And we're going to continue with the series. Pat talked about trials, Brett talked about the wisdom, and today I'm going to focus in on pride and humility. But what I want to do is, first of all, we're going to look at this scripture. It's only three verses. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over and dissecting the scriptures, but we're just going to go right to the key component of this. It talks about riches, talks about being wealthy and poor, but then there's a word in there that really rocks you, humility. And that's the opposite of pride. And so when Pat asked a few weeks ago about speaking about pride and humility, as I got into this, I started to get very excited about this study because this is a great study for every man. By the way, every one of us struggles and deals with pride. And if you say you don't have an issue with pride, then you probably have an issue with pride. And we're going to see some scripture. We're going to talk a little bit about this. I want to also let you know there's going to be a lot of scripture. I actually went back and updated this, and I have additional scripture near the end, and I wanted to make sure that it's all up there. So if you want to take your phones out and take pictures, fine, or just scribble the address down, the verses, and you can follow up with your discussion. But today we're going to talk about the perspective, and we're going to look at pride and humility, but we're going to look at it from a specific perspective. We're going to look at it from the perspective of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is real. It's all around us. In fact, it's more real than the real world that we look at. It's greater than the real world. We may not be able to see it, but we can feel it. We can see the manifestations of it. The kingdom of God is powerful. It's eternal. It's ruled by God. In the kingdom of God, there is great peace, there is great faith, there are miracles that occur. Jesus speaks a lot about the heavenly kingdom. In the Gospels, there's close to 100 different verses that talk about, actually more than 100 verses, that talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is within you. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. A lot of talk in the Bible about the kingdom. And for as men, we're caught up in the world, the earthly realm. It's a realm that all they think about in this realm is it's not an eternal realm. It will fade away. It's a realm where death is found. It's a realm where sin is found, where the disease is found. The heavenly kingdom is eternal. There is no disease. There's no sin. There's perfect health. When Jesus talks about the heavenly kingdom, he's talking about the future, his kingdom. But he's also talking about the now. He's talking about it's all around us. It's within us. And so I want us to look at these scripture today, and maybe I can nudge us all a little bit to start looking at scripture a little bit more from a heavenly approach, an eternal approach, the kingdom approach or perspective, versus a worldly perspective. Because you know this, the world will drag you down, you will look at things and you will say, you'll start getting depressed, you'll start getting discouraged. You start looking at things and saying, it's not going to work out. You start looking at the world through the world's eyes and you are pulled back into the earthly kingdom versus staying with the Lord in the heavenly kingdom. And I want us, men, I want all of us to be moving, walking every day, thinking about heavenly kingdom. When we're here, let's talk about the heavenly kingdom. When we're walking around, when we're out and about, let's talk about God's kingdom. Talk about the gospel, kingdom of God. Not what's happening in the world, not the politics of the world, not the things that will fade away. Talk about God. Talk about what's eternal. The verse we're going to look at is James chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And let's look at this together. Believers in humble circumstances ought to glory in their high position, but the rich should glory in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Wow. We see this in James. All of a sudden, he's talking about trials, he's talking about wisdom, and then he shifts gear to talk about this. He starts talking about wealth, prosperity, poverty. Zero in on this. He's talking about money here. Money can many times cause trials and tribulations. So this ties into what Pat's already mentioned before. But if we look at this and we focus in from an earthly perspective, we say, well, listen, does this mean the Lord's going to slap my hand because I have a lot of wealth? Does this mean that because I'm driving a new car or I've got this, I'm out of God's will? No. Listen, God is blessing you. If he's blessing you, praise the Lord, he's blessing you. But here's the thing. Make sure that you're in right relationship with him and you're looking at things with the right perspective. For instance, the believer who is poor materially in humble circumstances can rejoice in their high spiritual position as a child of God. So if you're poor materially, you can say, I rejoice because I am a child of God and I'm in the kingdom of God. And for the believer, the one who has riches, they can rejoice in their new kingdom values and priorities. So if you have, then you sit back, you take a step back and you say, Lord, thank you for what you've provided. I am a steward of the resources you have given me. I don't own them. They're yours. Kingdom perspective, I am a steward of what you have given me. Here's the way to look at this. Kingdom perspective, I don't own it. God has given it and provided it for me, and I need to be a good steward of using it. Earthly realm perspective, oh, I earned this. It's mine. I'm going to use it any way I want to use it. Two different perspectives. I want us to be focused on the kingdom perspective. There's nothing wrong with wealth if you have the right mindset and perspective. There's nothing wrong with being poor because we can rejoice that we have benefits and blessings in eternity with the Lord. Let me look at something else with you. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. While the rich person can rejoice in their new values, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 reaffirms this. It's not up there, but Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then another verse, it says, both rich and poor can see the temporal nature of earthly wealth as opposed to the eternal benefits of spiritual blessings. And now, Matthew 6:19-21, if you want to write those down and follow up, you know these verses. I'm just going to say the beginning and the end. Store up for yourself riches in heaven. And then in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Mindset, kingdom. Perspective, kingdom. Shifting our mindset, our thinking, our approach. I want to talk now a little bit about pride and humility. Now, I'm not going to recommend you do this. I already did it, and I was shocked. I did a Google search on the word pride. Guys, it's a whole crazy world out there now. If you would have done this a few years ago, you would have found some dictionaries pretty quickly. But now it's just full of the world. It's promoting the world. Pride is okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to push self. It's okay to elevate people, actors, persons, to elevate people up. And so the first couple of pages I went to, I had to actually filter through to get to a dictionary link that would take me to look up the word pride. Now, on the other hand, humility, that was a different story. I did a search on humility and popped the first page. There were several nice dictionary links that would take me right to it. But this is a compilation of different dictionaries that I pulled together, a different wording for a pride. Self-aggrandizing, or definitions here. Promoting oneself as being powerful and important. Arrogant, an exaggerated sense of one's own importance and ability. Disdainful conduct or treatment, showing contempt or lack of respect. Haughtiness, me-focused. Boy, that sounds like the world, doesn't it? You talk to people, it's always me. It's all about the things I'm doing. So this is a great definition or a great way to look at pride. Now remember, perspective. We're looking at it from the kingdom perspective. The opposite of pride is humility. Pride becomes a poison for us. Pride is a poison. I was thinking about this the other day. You have a gold chalice mug, and there's a nectar inside, something to drink, and it's got all these beautiful jewels, and you have a very plain wooden cup. Pride is being pulled towards that beautiful cup and saying, I want to grab this cup, and I want to drink from this cup. But the other part of pride is, I want people to see me drinking from this cup. I want them to know that I'm drinking from this cup. And then what happens? You drink from that beautiful cup, but the reality is it's pride, and pride is a poison. It goes into your system. It begins to destroy, begins to decay, begins to change you. Sometimes it's a minor issue, but sometimes it seeps deep and deep and deep and works in you and goes so deep that before you realize it, you are seeking attention. You're seeking more gold cups without even realizing it, maybe. There's only one page of scripture for pride. I have multiple for humility. I thought it's better to focus on the good side than the bad. But look at the pride. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, Proverbs 16:5. The arrogance of man will be brought low and the pride of men humbled, Isaiah 2:17. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. So pride is a poison that destroys us, that crushes us, and that it will affect not only us, but it will poison those around you. I've seen people that are they get caught up in something, and all of a sudden, you've seen this, peers. Mark, you get peers. You say, hey, man, what's he doing? Oh, look, he's got these new $300 sneakers. All of a sudden, you start noticing people with similar sneakers. By the way, if you buy expensive sneakers, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that it's pride is so insidious, it can just overflow, and all of a sudden you're watching someone else and you get a hold of that and you don't even realize the poison is coming in. But the way we offset pride is humility. Now look at the definition for humility. A modest or low view of one's own importance. Freedom from pride or arrogance. That's the exact opposite of pride. Arrogance, freedom from that. To make low, to lower yourself, to be God-focused and others-focused. Not me. No, I want to be God-focused. I want to be focused on others. The big idea for today is the antidote for pride is humility. The antidote for pride is humility. So if pride is a poison, and it comes, and by the way, Pat mentioned this, trials are baked into the cake. Well, pride is the icing that's baked onto that cake. So we have to be intentional. We've got to say, okay, I'm going to scrape that icing off. But God's given us an out. He's given us an antidote for pride, and that is humility. And so we need to recognize this, and don't walk out of here today, or those of you that are listening online, don't say, well, that doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. This affects every man, every human being. It's part of the fall. But God has given us a way out. Let's look at the next scriptures. So we have the perspective we're looking at today is pride and humility. We are looking from a kingdom perspective. We looked at the poison, and now we're going to look at the antidote, humility. I'm going to give you several verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. You notice that? That's the other focused. Other focused. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Some more. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. James 4:10, we're going to come across this in a few weeks. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Have you noticed the theme in these? If you humble yourself, if you lower yourself, if you take that antidote and say, I choose today to do this, to follow what God says, the Bible says that God lifts you up. He exalts you. But if you don't do this, what happens? You and I will go and we're like exalted and puffed up on our own. What does the Bible say? This is a warning. He will humble us. I don't know about you, but I would prefer to humble myself and let the Lord lift me up than go around being all puffed up and then have the Lord humble me. And then three more verses. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, this is the one I esteem. He who humble is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life. Wow. Humility. What does it bring? Wealth. This ties in with that James verse. And it brings honor, the lifting. God gives you honor around with him and with men and life. And then Psalm 25:9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them the way. Now, the antidote for pride is what? Humility. I want to take us through some scriptures very quickly. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant or slave, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death and even to the cross. That word, that Greek word where it says no reputation, says it's the word is he emptied himself. No more him, more God. That's a lesson we can take out of this. No more me, more of you, Lord. Continuing on, verse 9. Therefore, God also, look, highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And let me give you one more story, and then we'll close. Augustine said, should you ask me what is the first thing in religion, I should reply that the first, the second, and the third is humility. Humility, one. Humility, number two. Humility, number three. The antidote for pride is humility. And then I'm going to briefly go over one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. It's the centurion who goes to Jesus and asks him to heal his servant. It's also found in Luke chapter 7. Look at this now. We've been talking a lot about pride and humility, but perspective. Look at this from a kingdom perspective, and look at this man as an example of humility. Let's look at it a little differently, and let's work through this together. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. First of all, a centurion is a Roman soldier, police for that state. Centurion, the name implies he's a man over 100. That means the uniform he was wearing, the helmet, the color of the top of that helmet, it signified, it was like a neon sign, centurion, leader, man over 100. And this man comes to Jesus and he asks for help. First of all, somebody that's proud will not ask for help. You guys know this. Sometimes you've needed help, like I have, and you will not ask for help. I remember years ago, we were in a place where we were, I was doing day labor, a lot of different things, and we needed groceries, and we had to go to a food pantry to ask for help. And the guys that were there knew me, and I was so full of pride, I did not want to go and ask them for help. So I sent my wife and the little kids in. Some kind of man there, right? But they were so loving. They came out to me. They talked to me. They got me up. I went in there with them, and they prayed for me. And then they wound up actually helping me do some more work. So the Lord was very gracious. So sometimes pride will keep us from getting something that the Lord is preparing for us. So here's this man. He asks for help. And in verse 6, he says, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. His servant was sick, a servant, a slave, and he cared about his slave. He cared about others, not me, others, humility. We're starting to see it percolate here. Verse 7, Jesus told him, I will come and heal your servant. And then the centurion replied, Lord, no, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. He says, I'm not worthy. He's placed himself in a low position. I'm not worthy for you to even come. Humility. And then he says, look at the term. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He used the word under. Ping to that word for a moment. We continue. Verse 9. For I also am a man placed under authority. Here's a guy that had authority over 100. I would think he'd say, hey, I'm a centurion. I'm over 100 guys. No, he starts the whole conversation. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm a man placed under authority, even though he's a guy in authority, he says, I'm under authority with soldiers under me. He keeps using that word under. When I read that, I'm like, all right, Lord, are you trying to teach me something to get my mind changed? And it is. It's a mindset shift. All the conversations, everything we do, be looking at it from a perspective of the antidote, humility, under, humble. So he says, I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Another wisdom, obedience. Not just hearing it, but doing it. I say, do this, and they do it. So look what happens. Verse 10, Jesus heard this. He was amazed, and he said to those following, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Verse 13, we jump down. Jesus said to him, go, let it be done to you just as you have believed. And his servant was healed that very hour. So somehow, this conversation with Jesus, the centurion, Jesus kicks back and he says, I'm amazed the faith this man has. So I want to propose something to you. Humility and faith are linked. I think great humility brings great faith. It's part of the kingdom. The more you press into the kingdom, the more humble you are, the greater the faith arises, because faith is something that flows in the kingdom of God. So the antidote for pride is what? Humility. Years ago, I had when I was doing all kinds of day labor and jobs, I wound up working at a school as a custodian. I was the mop man. So I was in the gym mopping the floor, the entranceway, and it was late at night, and the basketball team had returned. And by the way, at that time, I was doing day labor jobs part-time. I was just trying to survive with my family. So I was on the poor materially side. By the way, I was here at the Bible study. The guys knew. They were helping me spiritually, financially at times, but I was working through this on my own. And as I was mopping the floor, the basketball team came, and instead of going through the back locker rooms, they came through the lobby. So some of the guys were like, hey, he's mopping over there, and they all moved over except one kid. And this kid comes slosh, slosh, right through what I just mopped. So I'm mopping this thing, and then all of a sudden, I picked up the gold chalice, the gold cup. Pride kicked in, and in my brain, I'm thinking, does he know who I am? Does he know what I'm doing here? Doesn't he respect me? It was all me. And then one of his buddies said, hey, listen, let him finish mopping. Let's get over here. And he goes, it's okay. He's the janitor. That's his job. So all of a sudden, whew, I'm starting to think, okay, bad thoughts, guys. The poison started working inside of me. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, what am I going to say to him with a mop in my hand, bucket? And then I heard these words. I don't know if it's the Lord, but I did hear these words. He goes, yes, go ahead, tell him you're the janitor. And when I heard that, I started laughing. Because my mind was thinking, I'm going to tell him I'm this, I'm going to tell him I'm that, and then I'm going to tell him this, and then the reality kicked in. I am the janitor, I'm the custodian, that's my job. And then I took a step back, and then I was overwhelmed with God's love, and I realized what God had done for me to bring me to a place where I could be working on a regular basis. So then I shifted gears, and I began, as I mopped the floor, I started saying, thank you, God. Thank you for providing this job for me. Thank you for providing a roof over my head. Thank you that I have a car that works and I'm able to get around. Thank you that my family is doing well and healthy. Thank you that you have brought me this far and you will continue to be with me as I move forward. And guys, I'm telling you, this for me, this was the reality. That pride left in that moment, when I started saying thank you to God, and I started thanking God, and I even started thanking him for these young men, pride left, and I felt God's peace come into my life. So, listen, I was a guy that was in a place that I thought I was okay. I was in a place where I was humble, but what had happened was I was a humble guy that was proud of being humble. The poison. So the big idea today is what? The antidote for pride is humility. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for these beautiful men that have gathered. I pray, Lord, that you would work within us, that your Holy Spirit would activate the word that we heard today. And Father, our prayer is that we would draw near to you and you would draw near to us. Meet the needs of your men today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.